Now, that should be on.
Yeah.
Great, okay. So look, guys, I'll try not to be too long. I'm not really going to say anything new today. I don't think I'll be saying anything that you haven't heard before. So this is more by way of reminder, but I think it's something that we can always do with being reminded of. This has been mulling around my mind since New Year's Day. If you remember, we had a prayer time on New Year's Day, and I just got the distinct feeling, no one actually said this, but just from the way people were praying and talking, and maybe it was just me, but I had the sense that we were all kind of asking ourselves on New Year's Day, what does it mean to follow Jesus in Ireland in 2023? When you think about all the changes that have taken place in this country over the past, 20, 40 years, the way the country has certainly turned its back on organized religion, and it feels as if it's turning its back on God. What does it mean for us to follow Jesus in that environment, you know? Does it mean that we get involved in some sort of culture war, man the barricades, protest against this, that, and the other? Does it mean we just try to ignore all that, keep our heads down, or what? And what came to me as I was praying about it, and it has actually come, same verses have come to me several times since, are very well-known verses. John chapter 15. Jesus speaking, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. These are very well-known verses. We're all familiar with them. I suspect several of us have probably meditated on them over a prolonged period at some stage in our lives. Books written about this, there are YouTube videos, there are entire websites about this whole concept of remaining in Jesus, or in the older translation, abiding in Christ. And the focus for a lot of this material, which is all very good, the focus tends to be on this idea of remaining in Jesus or abiding in Christ. And what does this mean? How do we do it? And those are valid questions and very useful questions to think about. But sometimes it seems as if we have missed the point that actually abiding in Christ is not what Jesus is talking about here, at least in the sense that it's not the end goal that he has in mind. It's only the means to an end. And the real end goal, the greater end, is what? Well, what's the purpose of a branch on a vine? Purpose is fruit, bearing fruit. And if you look both at the first verse and the last verse in this passage, in both of these, Jesus specifically talks about the end goal that he has in mind here is that we would bear much fruit, which he says brings glory to God. And remaining in Jesus, abiding in Christ, as important as it is only a means to that end. And sometimes I think some Christians have missed that point. And in fact, it's almost as if there is a misunderstanding of the gospel, maybe based on a misunderstanding of justification by faith, that takes it to an extreme where bearing fruit somehow has become an optional extra. All very good, all very nice, but, you know, not really part of the gospel. And we could possibly illustrate this by this, I think, is a reasonable summary of how some people view the gospel, that Jesus died on the cross so that my sins could be forgiven, so that I can go to heaven when I die. Now, hard to say that any of this is wrong, but I guess what I would say is, as a summary of the purposes of God, it is certainly inadequate. I would like to suggest a different summary, and even this is not by any means perfect. I'm very conscious of that, but I would like to suggest that it is certainly more complete to put it this way. Jesus died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could receive the Holy Spirit, so that we can bear fruit and become more like Jesus, so that we can be part of God's great project to renew the whole creation. Because the purpose of our individual redemption, seems to me, is so that we can be part of a much larger redemption. That is the renewal of the whole of creation. And for this, God is looking for people who bear the fruit of changed character and changed lives. Basically, people who are becoming more like Jesus. And this requires that we remain or abide in Jesus, because only Jesus can make us more like Jesus. And maybe just to repeat a little bit again, if we were talking about fruit, obviously the passage that comes to mind, and we looked at this over several months recently, is Galatians 5. Paul is writing to the Galatians, and just summarizing at the end, he says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then the bit we all know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And his final words, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So, what is this fruit? Well, one of the things we saw when we were going through this with Alistair Begg, but a lot of other teachers are saying the same thing, and rightly so. First of all, that he's talking about fruit, not fruits. There's one fruit. He describes it in 9 different ways, but it's only one fruit. And I suspect if you were to push Paul, he'd say, well, look, don't hold me to 9. I had to stop somewhere. I could have gone on. But he's describing one fruit in 9 different ways. And essentially what he is describing is the character of God, and especially the character of God as displayed by Jesus when he walked on this earth. So bearing fruit essentially means becoming more like Jesus in our character, and then living out that character in changed lives. I believe that's what Jesus is referring to in John 15 when he talks about bearing fruit. And so the question is, how does this happen? And one of the things that is really important to understand is we cannot make this happen. This is the fruit of the Spirit, not our fruit. It's something that only the Spirit can do in developing something of the character of God in us. And if we try to make it happen, at best we will fail, and at worst we could make things worse. But that's not to say that we don't have a role to play, because we do have a role to play. And if we look at four phrases that Paul uses in just in those few short verses, we'll see this. He tells us that we are to walk by the Spirit, we're to be led by the Spirit, we're to live by the Spirit, and we are to keep in step with the Spirit. Why? Because it's only the Spirit who can produce this fruit in our lives. Which is simply another way of saying what Jesus said in John 15. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, there is no fruit. Apart from the Spirit of God, there is no fruit. Because when we talk about Jesus living in us, technically, it's the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Remember what John the Baptist said about Jesus. When John saw Jesus first, he said, you know, I baptize with water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. A hugely important part of Jesus' mission, if you want to call it that, is that he is the one who makes it possible for people to receive the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, in their lives. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Paul, just to show, I mean, I could pick various other verses, but just here in Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, Paul talks about if the Spirit of God lives in you. And then in verse 9, he says, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. He's in one breath, he's talking about the Spirit of God. Next breath, he's talking about the Spirit of Christ. Quite obviously, in his mind, same thing. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus. They're one and the same thing. Notice also, Paul says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, then you don't belong to Christ. Now, the reverse of that is equally true. If you do belong to Christ, if you have asked Christ into your life by faith, then you do have the Holy Spirit. It cannot be otherwise. So, we have the Spirit of Jesus within us. And so, as Paul says, if we walk by the Spirit, if we're led by the Spirit, if we live by the Spirit, if we keep in step with the Spirit of Jesus, then what we're doing is we are remaining in Jesus, or abiding in Jesus. Another way of putting this, Paul again in Ephesians 5 puts it even more simply. You know this, these verses, he talks about, on one hand, don't be foolish. Then he says, understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. When Paul talks about be filled with the Spirit, I think essentially that's a shorthand for what he says in Galatians. Walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. It's all the same thing. Remain in Jesus. It's the same thing. And I guess two things to notice in verse 17. He says, understand what the Lord's will is. So it is the Lord's will that we be filled with the Spirit. And secondly, in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. It's an instruction that Paul is giving to the Ephesians. Important to keep that in mind. Because I guess for some people, when they talk about being filled with the Spirit or being baptized in the Spirit, you know, that has other meanings. They would talk about things like second blessings, like experiences of maybe receiving assurance, receiving faith, receiving power or gifts that they never had before. And I'm not saying that this doesn't happen. Actually, I know it does happen, and you certainly cannot put God in a box. But I don't think that's what Paul is talking about here. Because those sort of experiences are things that God chooses to do or not to do when and how he wishes. We can't make them happen. But as we've seen here in Ephesians, Paul is giving the Ephesians a command to be filled with the Spirit. So obviously, Paul believes this is something we can choose to do, or at least choose to allow to happen in our lives. And it is addressed to everybody. There are no restrictions on this. He says to all of them, be filled with the Spirit. So I'm absolutely not questioning God's right and God's ability to bless people any way he wants at any time. But I guess what we can say on the basis of the verses that we've been looking at is that firstly, everyone who puts their faith in Jesus receives his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And secondly, every one of us has the right to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in fact, not only have we that right, we're commanded. It is God's will for us that we allow ourselves to be filled. Well, what does it mean? Well, it means a lot of things, really, but I suppose what I want to focus on fundamentally, it's all about control. So we've seen you cannot be a Christian and not have the Spirit, but you certainly can have the Spirit and not be filled with the Spirit. Why is this? Because it's all about control. As Pat spoke about a few weeks ago, critical issue, who is in control in your life? It is entirely possible, as most of us here know from personal experience, it's entirely possible to have Jesus in your life, but not to allow him control of your life. It's interesting in Ephesians, Paul compares being filled with the Spirit to being drunk. And obviously the point there is when you're drunk, you're not really in control of yourself anymore. The alcohol is in control, and that's why you end up doing things that you wouldn't normally do. So I think Paul there again is making the point, being filled with the Spirit is about control. It's about giving Jesus, through his Spirit, control in your life. Another difference, I suppose, between what Paul is talking about and other experiences of the Spirit, and they are valid experiences of the Spirit, I'm not questioning that. Paul is not talking about a one-off event. So many of these other experiences that people have of the Spirit of God are one-off. Happens, changes their lives for longer or shorter period, hopefully for the whole of their lives, but it happens once. But Paul is not talking about a one-off event. When we look at the verb to be filled, now it does sound a little bit like a one-off event, but that's due to the limitations of the English language. Because actually the Greek verb there is what's known as a continuous present tense, which English doesn't have. Irish, interestingly, does. But anyway, really a more accurate translation would be something like, keep on continuously being filled. Paul is talking about an ongoing, continuous process, not a one-off event. And I think this is important to understand. And why is that? Precisely because for most of us, our experience is anything but consistent and continuous. If the key to bearing fruit is being filled with the Spirit, or remaining in Jesus, or abiding in Christ, they all mean the same thing. And fundamentally, they're all about letting Jesus be in control of our lives. Then, if we're honest, I think most of us will have to acknowledge that our experience of letting Jesus be in control of our lives at best is patchy. We tend to give Jesus control of our lives and then take it back again just as quickly. We might surrender everything to him in the morning, and by the evening we're not even speaking to him. Or maybe we may actually genuinely have given Jesus control of the big issues in our lives, the big areas of our lives, but there could still be 100 smaller areas that we haven't given him control of. And that's not to mention the areas that we're not even aware of yet, where we're still trying to control our own lives. So our experience is inconsistent. It's up and down. And that's really not conducive to the Holy Spirit's work of forming Christ-like character in us, because that's a long-term project. That demands a certain degree of consistency over the long haul. So, what can we do about that? Well, obviously the first thing that is that we need to want it. Otherwise we're just fooling ourselves. So that's that goes without saying. But if we do want it, if we do want to have a consistent experience, or at least a reasonably consistent experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, of living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. You know, it did occur to me something that I think is really helpful, is a concept we were taught, certainly some of us when we were younger, as spiritual breathing. This is something, it's not a technique now, it's just an illustration, but I think it is useful that it can help you to get back on track quickly and stay more or less on track whenever you realize that you're still trying to control your life or a particular area of your life. So breathing obviously has two parts, exhaling and inhaling. So in this context, exhaling, when you realize that you've taken back control of your life, or you've never given Jesus control of your life in some particular area, then, you know, confess it, repent of it, and receive the forgiveness that is promised to you. So don't beat yourself up about it. Forgiveness is there. Receive that forgiveness. And then the second part, inhaling, is be filled with the Spirit. Claim, again, the fullness of the Spirit to control your life and to give you the power to live as Jesus wants you to live, and to create the character of Jesus in your life. The basic idea here is pretty simple. We know this is God's will for us. He has actually commanded it. So there's no question about it. It is God's will that we be filled with the Spirit. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if we pray according to God's will, we can be certain that he will answer, and answer positively. So on that basis, we can confidently ask God to fill us again with his Spirit. Now, you may struggle, and I certainly sometimes struggle, to kind of to be satisfied with this, because it's so simple, it seems too simple, and especially if you've really messed things up. And you know, you don't necessarily feel any different as a result of doing this. And that, I guess, makes the point that we're walking in the Spirit is a walk of faith. It's a walk, it's based on trusting God's faithfulness and God's promises. Remember Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says, "So then," this is a kind of a blanket statement for your life, "just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him." So how did you receive Christ Jesus as Lord? By faith, trusting in His promises. So how are we to continue to live our lives in Him? By faith, trusting in His promises. So, this idea of spiritual breathing is just one way of expressing that. I guess what I like about it is, you know, breathing is something that we're never finished doing. Never get to a point where we don't have to breathe anymore. And the important thing is, no matter what else is going on, keep breathing. In a spiritual sense, if you're interested in a consistent experience of walking in the Spirit, you probably will find you may have to do this exhaling and inhaling. You may have to do it 100 times a day. Important thing is that you do it 100 times a day. And if you keep that up, after a while, you may find that you only have to do it 90 times a day, and then 80, and eventually only 50 times a day. And maybe after a long time, you might get to the point where you only have to do it 10 times a day. Don't think we'll ever get to the stage where we never have to do it. But the point I'm making is that I really think it does help bring us a level of consistency that maybe sometimes we're otherwise lacking. What you will not notice while all of this is going on, and I'm talking over a long period, what you will not notice, but other people may notice, is that as you're practicing this consistently, your life is beginning to display something of the fruit of the Spirit, beginning to reflect something of the character of Jesus in your life. You may not realize that, but other people, I think, will begin to do that. And so I guess what I'm really trying to say is, as I was asking myself that question, what does it mean to follow Jesus in Ireland in 2023? I felt the Lord was saying to me, at least, back to basics. It means the same as it always meant. Remain in me, bear fruit. How? By a consistent walk in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit on an ongoing basis, recognizing when you have moved out of that and move back in again as quickly as possible. And who knows what that will lead to. That's for the Lord to decide. The big picture of what's going to happen to this country, what's going to happen to our society, you know, that really is for the Lord to decide. But I think as believers, if we are remaining in Jesus, walking in the Spirit, and bearing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, then we are going to be part of that future for this country in ways that possibly we can't even imagine right now. So, one last summary on this, just to wrap up. How to follow Jesus in Ireland 2023. I would say critical thing is for us that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. Without that, we have nothing to offer. But as we've seen, that is not something that comes easily or naturally to us. So the second thing I would say is learn to practice spiritual breathing. I don't care whether you call it that or not. As I say, it's not a technique. It's not in the Bible. It's just a description of what it means to act in faith towards God's commands and God's promises, and to respond in faith to those things. A couple of other points, I guess. Let's be realistic. You need to expect some struggle and some conflict. By that I mean, I think you need to expect struggle with yourself, with your own flesh, with your own habits, desires, mixed motives, all of these things. You know, we all have them. Let's be realistic. You need to expect that. At least if you're expecting it, you may not be thrown by it. And we're all the same. We're all in that boat. We all struggle with ourselves at times. And you can expect some conflict with the society that we're living in as well. Don't go looking for conflict, but almost inevitably, some conflict is going to arise. Again, if you expect it, you may not be thrown by it. If you're naively thinking everything is going to be grand, then when conflict arises, it tends to hit you harder. So expect it. It doesn't mean anything is going wrong. In fact, it's probably a sign that you're on the right track. And finally, be prepared to live by faith. So in all of this, what we're being called to do is to walk in obedience, obviously, but also trusting God to honor his word, to honor his promises. We may or may not feel differently as a result. Hopefully we will at some point, but at best, that's going to be hit and miss, up and down. What God is interested in is a consistent walk of faith based on trusting him. As we get to know him better and get to know that he is trustworthy, that he does honor his promises, that we base our lives on that. So, quick prayer and I'm done. Lord, I hope I have expressed what you have been showing me properly. I pray for everyone who hears this that you will show them how it applies to them, if it does apply to them, Lord, and show them what it is you would like each one of us to do in response to this. Thank you that you are committed to us, Lord. Thank you that you have put your spirit within us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. It is for us to choose whether or not we want to be controlled, led by your spirit, whether we want to keep in step with your spirit. Lord, I pray you would help us to see that that is not an optional extra in the Christian life. That is the heart and soul of the Christian life. Walking by the power of your spirit and allowing you, as we do that, allowing you to produce the fruit of Christ-like character in our lives. Thank you for that privilege, Lord. You don't just redeem us, but you actually want us to be part of something much bigger than that. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Stop the recording. Do.